From the Motorsport Network, I'm Tom Howard, and you're listening to Gravel Notes. The World Rally Championship swings back into action this week with a trip to the technical asphalt roads of Croatia. The championship is finally poised with Hyundai's Thierry Neuville leading Toyota's Elvin Evans by 6 points following Safari Rally Kenya, which saw world champion Kalle Rovanperä return to form as the Finn scored his first win of his part-time campaign. But this week, we swap gravel for asphalt as the WRC gears up for round four of 2024. Joining me to discuss all things WRC is my co-driver for this pod, rally journalist and Jim Clark rally aficionado, Luke Barry. Welcome. How are you going, Luke?
Well, first of all, you've slipped in the Jim Clark rally thing there. That was a new one. A co-driver Okay. I like that. It's probably a fair assessment of me. So yeah, that's good. But yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. And have you recovered from your British Rally Championship exploits over the weekend?
I have, yeah. It was an interesting weekend. Obviously, Mr. Verstappen Sr. was out in a rally car, which gathered plenty of attention. And actually didn't do too badly for himself. So yeah, that was nice to see. Always a bit entertaining to see someone different out there on the stages, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Good stuff. Well, I guess before we crack into our Croatia preview pod, we do have some news to mop up, and certainly some absolutely breaking news while we are recording this, is that we have confirmation that Ireland sadly will not be joining the World Rally Championship calendar next year. There was obviously a bid for a three-year contract, with the rally being sort of rotated between Waterford, Limerick and Kerry. Unfortunately, the funding which was required from the government to put this event on, they were asking for 15 million euros, has not arrived in time for this event to go forward next year. Obviously, very sad news for the rally community, but I guess what's your reaction to this, Luke?
I think the word you use there, unfortunately, is good. I think this is just unfortunate. Unfortunate for the Irish rallying community, unfortunate, I think, for the global rallying community as well, because I think for anybody that somehow doesn't know what the stages are like in Ireland that is listening to this, they are special. Like, rallying is a huge sport in Ireland. It's effectively a religion at this point. It's celebrated, it's loved. The action would have been brilliant. I think the fan culture would have been amazing. So I was really sort of quite enticed by the prospect of this event joining the calendar. It's a very interesting statement, though, I have to say, from Motorsport Ireland. Very transparent, I guess, and quite clear what they feel about certain lead times on certain decisions, which is interesting. But yeah, I think unfortunate is my sort of snap word to describe it. I was really looking forward to the potential of it coming in.
Absolutely. I think it would have been a real good addition to the calendar as well. Certainly good for us in terms of locality. But yes, as you said, the statement is lengthy, isn't it? And it is transparent. It's actually quite nice to see something quite so transparent, because often we do get sort of a couple of pars and there's more questions than answers. But this has been quite open and honest, shall we say, as to what's happened. These things are always difficult, aren't they? Trying to get government funding for anything, no matter what sporting event, is always a tricky task. So I guess you've got to commend Motorsport Ireland for trying. And it's not over, is it? I suppose there is a chance that this could happen beyond 2025.
There is, but I don't want to be too negative a cloud, but my immediate sort of feeling to that is it's always, once you hit the first hurdle, I think it becomes increasingly harder to then clear it. The mountain gets bigger, so to speak, doesn't it? But I agree in terms of what Motorsport Ireland has been doing. I think they couldn't really, it sounds like anyway, have done much more than they have done. Everything was done the correct way, shall we say. It was a proper plan, I think. Ultimately, it just comes down to governments, and obviously, we all know the benefits of rallying, obviously from a sporting perspective, but also from an economic benefit for what it brings to countries. And I guess just trying to convince the government of that is the challenge, and unfortunately, it hasn't quite worked out this time. But we're seeing this a lot now, haven't we, about how difficult it is to put on a rally. And I always think it's quite interesting in a way, because it's a massive contrast to, I guess, the conversation around the WRC at the minute about the sort of maybe lack of health of the championship. But there's a lot of countries that are actually vying for spots on a calendar. So it's a weird contrast act for me. But yeah, you're right to highlight it. It's definitely not completely lights out for this bit. There is still a chance, and there is a 6 months that the government has had the need to look at it, don't they? So theoretically, they could look at that and actually think, okay, maybe actually we do want to do this, potentially this space in 2026. We understand that WRC promoter is keen for a rally in Ireland, so there is appetite for it. It just needs everything to tie together, and unfortunately that hasn't been possible for next year.
Yeah, you've perfectly summed that up. It's just, I think, as you said, it's just one of those unfortunate things. Would have been amazing, no doubt. But obviously, trying to organize an event in a short space of time is also very tricky as well. So even if, like, say, funding did come in a couple of months' time, the pressure is then on, isn't it, to try and get everything ready, which isn't easy. So you want these events to be a success straight out of the box. So I think, you know, in hindsight, having the time and having everything in line when you're doing this is probably better, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. I'm not actually sure if there would have been enough time for like a proper candidate event and stuff and how they would have done it and everything. So I never thought about that, but it's a good point. So I guess potentially in future, in a year's time or whatever, we can look back at this moment and think, actually, maybe hindsight told us this was the right thing. I guess just, and I try not to be a bit biased because I think I just love rallying in Ireland. So I've got a definite, like, I do really want to see it. But yeah, I was going to say, fingers crossed that this can happen. Because as I say, I think the rally, when it was in the WRC in the past, in its 2 years in 07, 09, was great. I think what's been proposed here was had the potential to be even better. So yeah, I think it would be a really, really cool addition to hopefully see some point in the future.
The other bit of news that we should cover is, obviously, since we've last spoke to you on the podcast, regarding the future of the technical regulations for the WRC in 2025, obviously we've discussed this before at length about what the FIA had intended to do, which was sort of whip out the hybrid power of the Rally 1 cars and make some aero changes to those to sort of bring them more into line with the Rally 2 cars for next year. The WRC Rally 1 teams have clearly united and said that this is just not possible to do in time for next year, and collectively wrote to the FIA, so explaining their concerns over the plans for 2025. There was a WRC commission meeting last week when the FIA put a statement saying that they are going to be working collaboratively with the teams on the issues that have been raised. Yes, it's an interesting situation where you've got all the teams uniting against the governing body. How is this going to play out, Luke? But I guess, firstly, I think, like, you can understand why this letter has been written.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for adding that second part of that question, because how is this going to play out? That is the million-dollar question. So I thought you threw me right under the bus immediately. But I'm trying to think about it. And when was the last time we had all three teams, I guess, so emphatically united with one stance, I guess, particularly against the FIA? It's a slightly extraordinary circumstance in a sense, but yeah, it's very clear what they think. And to be honest, it's hard to disagree from the team's perspective, as much as I think a lot of what the FIA was suggesting, there is good potential in it and there's merit some of the thinking. I think realistically, it's the time frame, isn't it, to get all that sorted. And then it's the fact that there are contracts in place for the hybrid to be sort of there further on. These teams have all invested in this technology thinking it was going to be a longer payoff, i.e. the homologation was going to run a couple of years longer. So all of that kind of stuff, it's very easy to think, oh, great, we can change all this. But there's a lot of practicalities that have to be considered. And yeah, what's going to happen, I don't know. It could go one of two ways. The FIA could decide that, nope, we're in charge, we're going to do this, and this is what we're going to do. The teams will have to just deal with that, whatever they want to do. They can choose to leave the championship, they can commit to the regulation, that is then their decision. Or the FIA could hear the team's complaints and then think, right, okay, let's keep our three existing manufacturers, let's maybe not worry so much about the next couple of years and just make sure that the sort of medium-term future rather than the short-term is definitely stronger. And I'd be tempted to suggest that that's the most sensible course of action at this stage, particularly given the reaction from the three existing Rally 1 teams, because we can't afford to be losing manufacturers, particularly when we're trying to gain them. So, yeah, it's certainly interesting. I dare say it's going to be quite an interesting sort of media hour for you, Tom, in Croatia this week.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. It's just a case of will they want to talk is about it on the record is going to be interesting to see whether they do or not. But you're right, you've hit the nail on the head. For me, the logical decision would be to focus on 2027. Like, as you said, like, it's hard for perhaps everyone to sort of realize, but when you're having to make changes on the fly like that, okay, yeah, there's 6 months, and for many people that might seem like a long time, but when your team has to sort of redesign, test and validate like components, no matter what they are, that is a lot of work and then also a significant investment that is required, and then on top of another investment into new regulations in 2027. So it's almost like a double hit of finances that would need to go into this. So there's a lot to be said for, okay, we know that the current regulations have not worked in terms of attracting cars and manufacturers and to the entry list, but we might it might be the best situation where you sort of just hold your tongue and wait and get this absolutely correct for, you know, the future, because ultimately, yeah, I can't see anyone coming in 25 or 26. So why waste time on trying to sort of put a band-aid on those 2 years when you could make 2027 really special? So yeah, that was a long-winded answer, but I think we both agree as to what what should happen. But what will happen is obviously an interesting one, because I guess the power is with the teams in a way, isn't it? Because, you know, ultimately they can go and do something else if they want to. They're not forced to do this.
Yeah.
So
no.
Yeah, you'd hope logic will prevail and common sense will prevail. And hopefully this will all get sorted rather soon, so we don't have this sort of limbo period.
Yeah, we definitely need an answer sooner rather than later, whichever way that goes. I think we 100% need some kind of clarity. But I think ultimately the best way to sort of move on from this point is what you actually said, mate, there was about, is anybody going to come in next year? I'm shaking my head as if people can see that. They can't. But the answer is no. It's so unlikely that we're going to get a new manufacturer joining for this interim period. So as much as the temptation is there to make the top class sort of stronger in terms of depth for the next couple of years, realistically, I think we need to accept where we are and just make sure we do as best we can to maintain what we've got, and then ensure that what we have in a couple of years, i.e. give manufacturers more time to study it, look at something they can actually aim at, for 27, and then by that point make sure the WRC gets back to where it should be.
And the big winners, if the regulations do stay the same, will be Hyundai, who have obviously invested quite heavily in a quite large revamp of its i20N for next year. So I guess there's a lot of people ours are now probably having their fingers crossed that that doesn't get scrapped completely. So yeah, I guess there's obviously a lot at stake. I guess we should probably now talk about Croatia.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. If I just quickly come in there, though, what's interesting, the thought just popped into my mind once you said that, and I guess it highlights the sort of strength of thought that the teams have on this, is maybe in any other sort of circumstance or something a bit less sort of important, you're mentioning obviously the advantage Hyundai could get if they can still use the car they were developing at. You'd think that in Toyota's position, you might actually try and lobby against that, because you don't want your rival to be stronger. But this is clearly the sort of how passionate they are that things shouldn't change, isn't it? They're willing to overlook that, because it's not a secret what Hyundai are doing. So yeah, I just thought that was worth pointing out.
No, that's a very good point, Luke, and I'm glad you interrupted me to make that, because that you're absolutely right, that it's so unusual to see that unity. In fact, the last time we saw that unity was in Croatia last year, if you remember rightly, with the way that people competed for manufacturer points, which we'll come on to, I guess, as we preview the round in Croatia coming up next. Okay, let's talk about Croatia then. Obviously, this is going to be quite a challenging weekend, I'd suggest, for all the teams and crews. You know, obviously last year, this was quite an emotionally charged round, coming so close to the loss of Craig Breen, the Hyundai driver. So there was a lot of emotion around the event, but the way that the WRC family came together was quite remarkable. We both were there, so you can obviously vouch for that. But yes, for Hyundai, this, I guess they wanted to win that event last year so much for Craig. They're going to want to win it again this time round, aren't they? Even though we're a year on.
Yeah, it's almost like an unfinished business story, isn't it? Like a redemption sort of thing. And it was a very, yeah, well, the whole weekend again, strange doesn't feel like the right word to use, but there was certainly something different about the weekend. And I'm sort of struggling with words here, but what I'm trying to get at was Thierry Neuville, obviously on the second day he was leading, made a small mistake and ended up retiring. Now, at that point, as journalists, we don't have favorites, we don't have results we want to see, but I don't mind admitting that I was gutted to see that happen. I think, to be fair, Elvin and Scott Martin, one of Craig's ex-co-drivers, that was the next best result if we couldn't have a Hyundai win. But it was really a shame to, because I think that team really deserved that, given everything they'd gone through in the last week and a half or so before the event. So yeah, Thierry will be back to try and do that. Of course, Hyundai, they've announced that they're going to be carrying a sort of Craig tribute livery again this year, which I think is a really nice touch. I wasn't actually expecting to see it, so fair play to them for that, because they could easily just try and effectively not hide it, but they didn't have to do it. There's no stipulation or compulsion to, but it's a really, really nice touch, I think, from the entire team to do that. So that'll be nice to see. And yeah, I think there'll be, not that Thierry needs extra determination or motivation to win rallies, but I suspect he will be, yeah, this will egg him on just a little bit further, I think, this week.
Yeah, it's still, as we've seen with Hyundai, like, and just the way that Craig was with everyone in the service park, you know, such a lovable character and one of Motorsport's great characters. He was sort of an infectious with his smile and his comedy and everything. Everyone's just didn't have a bad word to say about him. And you can see that within the Hyundai team and how they still sort of paid tribute to Craig throughout the whole of last season with messages on the car and in the service park structures. Even we got invited to the team headquarters in Alzenau last year, and there's a bonnet from Croatia hanging in the main workshop area, sort of looking down on everyone, which is a sort of nice touch to sort of say that, you know, that he's looking over everyone, is still well thought of, and people are thinking about him in that team while they're working, which is a really nice touch from Hyundai. Also, we should mention that there is a special auction going on to raise money for the Craig Breen Foundation, where Hyundai and others have donated a lot of really cool items, I've got to say, where all the proceeds go to the Craig Breen Foundation, which puts money into aspiring young rally drivers in Ireland. So a really good cause there. And as I said, I'd urge you, if you can, to go and have a visit on galabid.com/CBF24. There's some very cool items on there. I probably will be putting a couple of bids in. I won't be successful, but I will at least try. yes. Okay. Let's talk about the rest of Hyundai's charge. Obviously, as you've mentioned there, Thierry Neuville, championship leader, he's going to be wanting to go out there and push pretty hard. But in the other Hyundai ranks, we've got Oit Tanak. Now, this is a big round for Oit, isn't it? He's had a really tough start to the season. Hasn't scored a podium yet. He's sitting fourth in the championship. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Oit this weekend, do you think?
I think yes, but that's nothing new for him to deal with. Tanak's used to pressure. He'll be putting the pressure on himself. But I agree, it feels too sort of hyperbolic to start calling it make or break events and all this sort of stuff, but we are getting into the realms of that if things don't turn around. It's Neuville's beaten him certainly overall. I'm not sure about the points because obviously the way the point system works, but I think Neuville's outscored him at every rally so far, and that's doubly significant. A, because obviously he's a championship rival, so you don't want to be losing points to your rivals, but B, and I guess in some respects, even more importantly, at some stage this season, we do know that Hyundai will have to back one of its drivers. And at the minute, that driver would be Thierry, wouldn't it? Both on form and in terms of where he sits in the championship. So Oit really has to do what he can to try and reverse that trend. I guess the bad news for him is, as much as Thierry's never actually won in Croatia, he's every single year, I think, gone well. I guess 22 was all over the place. That was quite a dramatic event with all sorts of penalties and errors and sort of problems. But the speed was phenomenal when it was all coming together. So it's one of, I guess, Thierry's stronger events. And of the, I think, the last three tarmac rallies, he's won two of them, if I'm correct in saying that. He didn't get Japan done, but he won Central Europe and he won Monty, didn't he? So Thierry, I guess, at the minute, certainly of the full-time contenders, because you'd have to sort of include Ogier in this bracket, and we'll get to him obviously later on, but he is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, tarmac driver, certainly in my opinion, in the championship. So it's a big ask for Tanak, it is, but it's not as if he's a slouch on this surface. Obviously, he almost won this rally in 22 in a Hyundai, save for Robin Perra's mega power stage effort. He almost won the rally last year in a Ford as well. So I think he's been second the last 2 years, Tanak, here, hasn't he? So actually, yep, when you think about it, it's also a strong event for him. The problem he's got is weather dependent. His road position might count against him, because obviously, unlike a gravel or snow rally, starting further forward is actually usually an advantage on tarmac, because the guys at the front actually have a cleaner road because they'll cut and they'll make the sort of some of the corners messy and slippery for those guys behind. It's not as pronounced an effect as on gravel, but it could all add up when the competition is obviously as close as it is. I feel like I'm doing a lot of waffling there, but the point is, yes, it is going to be a very big weekend from Tanak, but I am sort of quietly expecting it to go well. I think he's got everything he needs to succeed. Obviously, luck sort of deserted him in Kenya, but surely things have to turn around for him at some point.
Yeah, I was going to mention actually the road position, because I think that's going to be quite an interesting factor, isn't it? And you've just sort of highlighted there. You know, the odds are, depending on the weather, obviously, that our odds are in Terrier's favour as well. So it's going to be an interesting battle, inter-team battle. That's going to be really good to watch, I think, this weekend, see how those two tackle it. Because obviously, as you said, like you can't hide behind the fact that there is a lot bit of pressure on it, because it really does need to get his season going. It's going to be an interesting one, really is, especially with these roads as well, with the sort of changing grip levels and different types of asphalt. It's a real interesting rally to watch and to see how the drivers cope with it. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Also, we must say that Hyundai will welcome back Andreas Mikkelsen, who is their sort of asphalt expert, shall we say, this year. That's what he's been brought in to do in the third car, which I say that sort of funnily, because I don't sort of associate with him as an asphalt specialist, but that is kind of what his job is this year, having started in Monte. He had a difficult round in Monte, didn't he? Obviously getting adjusted to the new I-20. How do you think he's going to go? He had a rally in Italy, didn't he, before, so he's had a little bit of an extra test before this one.
Yeah, it's very hard to know, isn't it? Because you're right, he did struggle in Monte, and I think that was probably against most people's expectations, just how, I guess, badly he did struggle, because naturally you can see the difference between a Rally 2 and a Rally 1, the extra aero, the hybrid kit. These are two very key things that a driver has to get on top of, but Mikkelsen is a very, very experienced rally driver, so it just shows that even if you've got loads of experience, there are still challenges that you have to learn and overcome. And Mikkelsen was the first to admit that actually he did find it kind of difficult, and maybe more difficult than he expected, to get on top of that. But as you say, he has been back in the car, he's done some testing, he's done that rally in Italy last weekend, so that's given him a bit of a base to work from, so it will be quite interesting. But he's not got a lot of experience in Croatia either, has he? He's only done the rally once, I think, and that was back in 21, so it's not actually going to be particularly easy for him to really do well. I'm sure he's actually, I read somewhere that he's targeting a podium, which seems quite an ambitious target, but you have to be ambitious in rallying, don't you? There's no point aiming to be fifth place. That's not going to excite anybody or please anybody per se. So yeah, ultimately know what his job is for the year. The same with any of the third driver in the Hyundai car. It's to be that safety net to back up Thierry and Ollie. But obviously, as we've seen with Lappi this year in Sweden, that doesn't mean you can't win rallies for yourself in the right circumstances as well. I think for Mikkelsen, realistically, we'll all want to see a bit more pace than what you had in Monte Carlo. And I would expect that, because I think that was purely down to just understanding the quirks of driving Rally 1. And you just never know. Keep yourself out of trouble, you could easily be in the realms of top 5, and I sniggered at it, but who knows? Why can't you get a podium? You don't ever know in rallying, do you? Anything can happen. But yeah, I think his progress will be one of the interesting subplots this weekend for sure.
As you said, you couldn't have put it better myself. Like, that's the beauty of rallying, is that anything can happen and anyone can win. It is so unpredictable, isn't it? Like, you just cannot, even though we have our own little prediction league that we do, like, it's still pretty difficult to get that right, isn't it? We watch this day in, day out, and should be knowing what's going on. So that just sort of says a lot about the championship. But I guess we'll move on.
Or that we don't know anything, Tom. We have to address that. It could be that.
Well, there's a good chance of that, isn't there? but there we go. But unless we're doing a Jim Clark Rally Prediction League, then you will be all over that. So I guess
This is twice now. At some point, we're going to have to do a quiz and put my money where my mouth is with this.
It's all in the works. It's a future Barry's brain. Don't worry. We'll definitely get there at some point. Anyway, let's move on to Toyota. Obviously, back on song in Kenya. Got their first win of the season. with Cali Roffenpera absolutely destroying the field in the Safari Rally. Cali's not here in Croatia this weekend. Sebastian Ogier takes over the third car. Ogier has won the event in 2021, but also it's a good point to make that Toyota has actually won every edition, haven't they? So Ogier won in 21, Cali won in 22, and Elvin Evans won in 23. So they're actually unbeaten in Croatia. How do you think they're going to go this weekend?
Firstly, I'm quite upset that you said that, because I'd done this stat and I was really proud of myself working it out. And now you've stolen that thunder from me. But I mean, I've seen it across social media as well. So it's not mine to own. But yeah, it's a curious stat, that one, because I think it's more surprising. And obviously, they've won every Safari Rally Kenya as well. It's like we're talking about, obviously, a few weeks ago. But everybody sort of knows that. I think the Croatia one is more like less obvious, is the phrase I'm looking for. Because in all three of those years, it's not been a dead cert that Toyota was going to win. It's just a nice little quirk that they have. I'll be honest, though, I struggle to see that changing, because I struggle to see Sebastian Ogier not winning this one. And I'll be careful how emphatically I put this, because I did the same for Monty. And obviously, there was some pretty difficult circumstances for Seb that I guess did have an effect. And I did the same for Sweden with Cali, and I bigged up his chance. And obviously, neither of those two won either of those two rallies. So I'm not going to make the mistake of completely sort of writing high and die off. But for me, Ogier is the favourite. I guess the only thing that isn't in his favour is that road position we're talking about earlier. He's, I think, fifth on the road in starting order. Might be sixth, actually. Let me double check. I'm getting a nod from Tom. Yeah, okay. So, he's just so accomplished on tarmac. He's won this rally before. He didn't do it in 22, but last year, I think he probably was, on balance, the quickest. Just obviously a puncture on, I think it was either the first or second stage, really put him backwards. So he never got to properly feature in the reckoning. But it's an Ogier rally, isn't it? It's changeable conditions. It's demanding. It requires everything from your brain as well as your right foot, I think, which is sort of, well, every rally is an Ogier rally, really, isn't it? He's obviously that accomplished a driver, but it should play to his strengths. Elvin Evans, we obviously can't forget as well. He's got a bit more to think about, I guess, than Seb does, because he's got this championship battle with Thierry. So I suspect, obviously, first place means most points, and then you maximise everything you can. But it'll be more, where's Thierry and how am I doing versus Thierry, than let's win the rally, which is all Seb's going to worry about. But again, Elvin, he's a defending winner here in Croatia. Also gone well in the past. In 21, he almost won, save for that sort of agonising last corner where he lost 0.6 seconds to Ogier, didn't he? So another one that's gone very strong on tarmac, won in Japan last year. So he's probably not going to be the one that's on everybody's lips at the start of the rally, but I think he's a bit of a sleeper contender, if I can call him that. He certainly cannot be discounted from a top result, and he knows he needs to, I guess, reverse a little bit of the deficit. He's not losing loads to Thierry, but consistently every rally, just losing little bits here and there, with the exception of Sweden, actually. He did claw some back there. But yeah, I think Safari was a difficult weekend for him. He'll be looking for some positive momentum, sort of reverse that tide in his championship campaign.
Absolutely. I actually am going to pick Elvin as my winner for this event. I said that even before you started answering the question. That's not to say that I don't think Ogier can win, but I think the road position could just be a factor in this. And I think it might be a hurdle too far, but obviously we will need to see how the weather's going to play out. Not to say that I don't think he's going to be in the podium mixing in the victory fight. I'm sure Sebastian will be, because he's just that good. But I do think that Elvin is, as you said, like his form on Asphalt is fantastic. Like, and Japan was a really good showing of that. And we can't forget, in Japan it was obviously very tricky in the conditions in the wet. So if it does rain, I'm putting my money on Elvin there. It's going to be interesting. We should talk about Takamoto Katsuta. He had an excellent Safari rally, definitely well needed after the Sweden disappointment. He's an interesting one, isn't he? I mean, I'm not really sure where I sort of see him factoring in on this rally, but I do think he'll be, you know, certainly battling in the top five.
Yeah, Croatia's never been Taka's strongest event, has it? I think generally he kind of struggles a bit more with this kind of tarmac. It's maybe one of the things he's still learning and improving on. But But you're right. I think I deliberately didn't mention him before because I was going on a bit of a monologue and I thought I'm answering several questions at once. So I didn't forget about Yutaka-san. I'm sorry. But he, I think realistically, the target will be decent stage times. Make sure you get the car home without any kind of scratch on it. He knows this is not his sort of event to really start pushing for another podium or that elusive first win. He will be the backup to Ogier, to Evans, making sure Toyota have their manufacturers' championship sort of standings in order. Potentially he could be used to go for a push on Sunday to score points there. But yeah, you're right. It's a funny one because he's built such momentum back up again from Sweden. And I just hope that, I don't think he will, but I just hope he doesn't try and like continue the hero arc, if that makes sense. I don't see it. I don't think it's going to happen. But it's, yeah, I think this one for Taka is just one to get through. We're on to Portugal afterwards. And without saying too much there, because that's a separate podcast in itself, he won't have the responsibility of manufacturer points. So he can actually effectively drive for himself there, which would be a nice bit of freedom for him to really kind of try and push on and see what he can do.
But I think we're in for a fantastic battle between certainly Toyota and Hardo. I know we haven't spoken about M-Sport yet, but given what we've just all discussed there in terms of Thierry, Oit, Seb, Elvin and Taka, there's already some very nice narratives that could play out there that could make a very, very interesting battle. And I suppose that now is our segue into M-Sport. M-Sport will actually have some new upgrades on the Ford Puma coming into Croatia. They've been working on a rear wing upgrade for some time now, the back end of last year, but decided to wait until 2024 to give it its debut, and that will come in Croatia. Yes, it's a rear wing modification. It's not a sort of a reinvention of the wheel, shall we say? But speaking to Rich Milliner, he said that in the fast stuff, this is going to make a difference to the car, certainly with the setup tweaks. It's always exciting to see new bits on the car, isn't it? I mean, how do we think M-Sport are going to go?
It is exciting to see new bits. And it's funny, this one was getting talked about before Monty, wasn't it? Because clips emerged of testing with this new rear wing on the car, but it was like, nope, we've got to wait a little bit in the season for this to turn up. But it's a funny one because, as you say, it's a very small evolution, but all these things count. And I guess it's maybe not the most relevant example, but the last time M Sport was developing a rear wing for a car, it's worked out quite well. The Fiesta Rally 2 is now the car to have, certainly on a national level in the UK, and it's performing very well in WRC2 and last year before most hands and everything. So we know M Sport could develop the right parts for a car. And it all just adds, I guess, to this added boost of positivity that M Sport is going through this year. I think it was always going to be a different year. They were very upfront about that. They didn't have an obvious drivers' championship contender. And I use the word obvious because where he is in the points, you can't. Formo is one, isn't it? He is, as much as he's not like actively saying it, and he's not necessarily like in his head targeting it. At the minute, he is a contender in the championship. He is that well placed with his run of form. So it's a big weekend in a way, because there's been a lot of jokes, I guess, for both him and Alex Correa that they've got a podium on snow, they've got one on gravel, so now all they need to complete the trilogy is the Tarak one. Is it possible? I don't know. And I just hope that they don't go to Banzai for it, because the strategy they've had this year has worked wonders. Now, at some point, obviously, they're going to want to sort of maybe go harder at the start of a weekend, and they have. And it's hard to know, obviously, how atrocious this rally will be. I think potentially it's, again, that's a weather question. If the rain comes, then I'd be surprised if we don't see a few mishaps. But yeah, Formo's obviously a very, very accomplished driver now. We don't need to just sort of discuss that. We know how good he is on tarmac as well. Even though actually in rally one, that was maybe where he struggled most in 2022. But he's got some good form behind him now from Monty. I struggle to see him doing a bad rally. That's a really bad turn of phrase. I think you know what I mean. As I say, I'll just reiterate, I hope he doesn't go too crazy or get too sort of desperate for another podium. That needs to come by being clever and patient, as he's displayed this year, rather than going flat out, because, yeah, it's risky. But, yeah, I certainly think they'll be a contender once again, far more than I think a lot of people thought they would be pre-season anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right in saying that we're looking at, and I hate to say these sort of phrases because it's a bit sort of cliche, but we are looking at a sort of Formo 2.0, aren't we? He is a different character this year. He's definitely much smarter. I actually spoke to Malcolm Wilson for a feature on Autosport that goes live today about Adrian and his approach this year and what happened last year. And Malcolm did say that this is going to be the real next, Croatia with the next test for Adrian, but in terms of his development, because we've seen him adopt this, as I say, this very clever strategy on these three really tricky rallies to begin with in Monte, Sweden and Kenya, which has yielded great results. But now we're into sort of the performance side of the season, where now the question marks will be coming as, does Adrian actually have the performance when he needs it to attack? But also, as you so rightly said, is he smart enough to know when to attack and when to back off on these type of rallies? So this is going to be quite an interesting one for Adrian. I do think we will see him in the mix. Like, let's not forget, he sort of burst onto the WRC top class scene in Croatia with a fifth in 2021. So so that's when we all sort of sat up and took notice, I guess. You know, he obviously did well in rally two, but when you're doing it at the top level, that's when people were like, well, okay, this guy's got some talent. So yeah, it's gonna be, I'm really interested to see how he goes this weekend. Like, obviously, we are really enjoying what he's providing, not only on the stages but off the stages as well, with his comedy this year in the stage and interviews. So yeah, I hope that continues, and I hope that he does end this rally with a very smart drive and keeps those points ticking over.
Yeah, he is, I think, formal the feel-good story of 2024, isn't he? As you say, he's entertaining us on the stages. He's entertaining us off them as well. But I actually think it's worth us mentioning his teammate, Gregoire Munster, at this point as well, because I genuinely think quite unlucky this season, to be honest. There's been obviously he has made mistakes, but it's marginal. And obviously, we know the top level motorsport, all of these fine margins do count. But I think he's paid some quite heavy prices for what he's... my absolute sentence structure has gone out the window. But he's paid a heavy price for his errors, hasn't he? I think is what I'm trying to say. Croatia is an interesting rally because I think it's probably, of the events we've had so far this year, the one where you'd expect his performance level to be the highest. It's, I guess, the most similar to what he grew up on back in Belgium, in terms of the changeable and sort of, a lot of times, slippery tarmac, if we can call it that. Not always offering the most grip, quite undulating and bumpy. It's terrain he's used to. It's a rally he's done plenty of times before as well. So it's hard to know what to expect because of the level of all the other drivers in the class is so high that I don't necessarily think that he's all of a sudden going to go up the pecking order as such, but I would expect him to be closer to his teammate and to the rest than he has been throughout the year. But having said all of what I said before, I do think it is important for him in particular to get through this one without any kind of error or without using Super Rally and just get some points on the board. As much as the points aspect isn't really the sort of priority for M Sport this year, they're pragmatic enough to know that the manufacturer's chapter is going to be difficult for them with one fewer driver and obviously a slightly less experienced driver lineup. But it's a status of performance, isn't it, of getting some points on the board. And yeah, it'll be important for Gregoire to make sure that he has a clean weekend as well as showing a bit of pace.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. He's been unfortunate, hasn't he? Like in Monte, he was running really well, but then that was just that small error, and the car got wedged, didn't it, in the barriers, and it was one of those where there was no damage to the car, but it just couldn't get out and was stuck. So we also forget Central European Rally last year. He was very very impressive there on the asphalt and tricky conditions, we must say, in the Puma. So he's got form on this surface. So I do expect him to go much better, as you say. And it would be great to see him up there and mixing it because, he's a great character, a really nice guy. And, he's been unfortunate this year. He deserves a bit of luck, doesn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. But we know what they say in rallying, don't they? Sometimes you make your own luck. So it's one of those. But he's sort of suffering, I guess, from... What can I call this, a curse? I don't know. It's very sort of current, but the sort of first full year in WRC curse, if we can call it that. I guess my example in my head right now is Pierre-Louis Loubet. He was excellent on his part-time season, and I guess things just didn't quite pan out for him last year. So it is difficult when you come into a season like this and your approach changes because you've got a full calendar of rallies to do rather than just the odd event where you can, I guess, strategically pick the ones that are going to suit you to perform best, and you can alter your strategy because what you want to do is really show yourself to be the best. You don't build on anything. So, yeah, it's certainly it's round 4 of 13 for Gregoire in this season. Anyway, this guy did a couple last year, as you've already mentioned. So it's by no means like alarm bells ringing that things haven't quite panned out so far. But I do think this is going to be quite an important rally for him to show, I guess, both sides that we've talked about there, a bit more speed and just to prove to everyone that, yes, he can get through a rally without any mishap.
We'll move on to WRC2 now. Obviously, this is now going to be quite an interesting battle. We've got the likes of Johan Russell, Pepe Lopez, Nikolai Gryazin back. Obviously, those three had a ding-dong battle in Monte Carlo, which was absolutely excellent to watch. So there's going to be, it's an interesting lineup in WRC2 this weekend. How do you see that playing out?
I think it's well reminded to remind everyone of that battle, because I'd actually forgotten about it for Monty. That was class, wasn't it? It was probably every single stage had somebody else leading, but it's a strange lineup in a way, because it's no disrespect to Rossell, Lopez or Grise and the drivers you mentioned, but compared to some of the names we've been getting used to having in this class, it's sort of without an A-lister. Rossell, I guess, is the closest thing we've got. We have the likes of Gus Greensmith competing, but he hasn't chosen to nominate this one for points. So I guess in context, he doesn't really matter too much. Although, obviously, he will be interested where he filters in pace-wise, and so will the rest, for sort of balancing the rest of the season and where they can all each improve and everything else. But Rossell is the man on tarmac, isn't he? He has to still be favourite for this, even though, as you say, it's closely matched. He won here last year. He won in Monte Carlo in that incredible battle. So he would be my pick for success. But his teammate Grisin has run in close all year, would have been on similar rallies. And as you said, Lopez was ever so close to that maiden WRC2 win on Monte. It's got to be coming at some point. There's nothing to suggest it can't be here. Nicholas Siemen is another one who I think is actually a bit of a quiet contender. Obviously won the class at Central European Rally last year, but that wasn't in the Hyundai that he's driving. But the Hyundai has got upgrades coming to it. We know about that. And we have Emil Lindholm back in the fold as well. There's Lyra Yuna. So there's lots of interesting, as you say, drivers in the mix. I'm not suggesting he's going to be out there posting a top result, but I am actually quite curious to see how William Crichton fares this week in the M Sport, of course, last year's junior world champion, on a bit of a run of form, particularly in the British Championship. I think he surprised quite a few people at becoming Chris Ingram's closest championship contender so far. So let's see if you can sort of convert that sort of good energy into a positive result in WRC, because he struggled in Sweden. He's not got masses of experience on snow. So tarmac's a service he knows a bit better. We know the car's proven. So it'll be quite interesting to see where he filters into all this as well.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think Crichton is actually one to keep an eye on, isn't it? Because, I think this is a rally that might suit him. So that will be an interesting factor. We also got the FIA Rallystar drivers are back in action after Sweden. So that was their first round. So they're back here, I believe. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I'm having a mental blank there. I was, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, no, it's correct. It is Croatia. Oh, it's been an interesting week. So that'll be interesting to watch as well. But I guess what we should move on to is the return of Barry's Brain. It's been a while since we've quizzed our co-host Luke Barry on it and see the depths of his rally knowledge, because we do know that he has quite some brain on him when it comes to some rally stats. So I've got 5 questions for him. These are all related to Rally Croatia, or Croatia Rally, however you want to describe it. Now, obviously, we've only had a few editions of this rally at the WRC level, so the questions are maybe a little bit more detailed, shall we say, but I'm sure he will go okay.
That's the bit that worries me, because I was thinking about this before. I had a feeling that Barry's Brain was coming back, so it's always tempting to try and think about stuff. I promise I don't cheat and look things up, but it's always tempting to, like, sort of go into the back of my brain and think, oh, what happened in this rally and what did that? And to be fair, WRC helps with posting some social clips from time to time, I'll be honest. But yeah, this one is, there's not been so many. So I was quietly fearing that we might be a bit nerdier, shall we say, with the questions, which is a great challenge. But it could be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, here we go. So we'll kick off with, it's the usual format, 5 questions. The fifth question is the power stage question that has 5 answers. So we'll start with question 1. Obviously, play along at home, please do. The first question, what was the finishing margin between the winner and second place finisher of the inaugural Croatia WRC rally in 2021?
Yes, we already have gone in harder, haven't we? Now, I'm going to hope I'm correct because I used this in an answer earlier in the podcast. So unless I've misremembered it, but I'm going to go with 0.6 seconds.
You are correct. You did mention it earlier in the podcast, and I thought, okay, he's at least got one of these questions right. So, no, correct, well played. And we should say that that wasn't a remarkable finish and one of the closest in history as well. What a finish that was to that event.
Yeah, I think it might actually be the closest finish ever on tarmac. Again, someone is definitely going to correct me on that, so please do. But yeah, there's not many rallies that I've been... It's hard to get closer than 0.6 seconds, isn't it, to be fair, after 3 days of rallying. So yeah, quite the finish.
Question two then. Who won the power stage in 2022?
Okay, that I like the way you've worded that. Now, if this somehow isn't true, I'm going to be... astonished, but I know that Robin Perra put on that incredible last stage performance to overturn Oit Tanak's charge. If anybody went quicker than Cali, I'd be surprised. So I'm going to go with Cali Robin Perra.
You are correct. Cali Robin Perra with a full send to win the rally in 2022. How could we not remember that? That was an astonishing moment. Well done. 2 out of 2. It's looking good for you, Luke.
I was worried about question two there, though, because I thought it could be a massive curveball that someone just happened to go faster and nobody clocked it. So I was a bit nervous there, but okay, very good. I'm enjoying this.
Also, question three, also from 2022. It was a challenging event for M Sports Adrian Fourmeau, but where did his Ford Puma come to rest on stage three?
Okay. I've got an advantage to this one because I was actually there. At the location of his accident. So it was in somebody's, I don't know if it was front or back garden, but it was effectively like a farmer's garden. He went through the fence, or sorry, through the hedge, and ended up parked up in someone's garden. And it was the strangest thing on TV because we got the onboard camera. I was like looking at somebody's door. It's like, what has happened here? But it was literally like one of the first corners of the stage, incredibly slippery. And he just lost the back end and he'd plied through the hedge. It's actually my first ever WRC event abroad, that one, so it was quite the experience to find myself on the first morning in a garden with a Ford Puma rally one. Good memories.
It's you are correct, of course. It's one of those bizarre rally stories. Obviously, you know, it was just an unfortunate one for Adrian Fourmeau, caught out by a wet patch. But I distinctly remember seeing a concrete duck that he pulled up just in front of in the garden that he didn't hit, and the duck survived. So that was that was an unusual, only one of those only in rally moments that you get.
Yes, But let me tell you, there was quite the crowd congregated around the car by the time we got there as well. It probably, like, I can only assume like spectators had walked down the stage or around other ways to get in there and have a look at it. But it's always funny, they all just stand there like staring, and you see the driver and co-driver like trying to keep their heads down because they're... And obviously they'll take time to speak to fans and take pictures, but they're a bit embarrassed at what's just happened. So it's always quite a funny scenario, waiting until the tow truck can come in and recover the car.
Well, it's 3 from 3, Luke. I feel like I've not done a good job here. Right. Okay. Question four. This might get you. How many Rally 1 cars entered the 2022 edition?
No, this is definitely a curveball question, isn't it? I'm going to do some thinking out loud because that's better podcasting. So we'll start with Toyota. Would have had Robin Perra, Evans, and Katsuta. Oje wasn't there. So that's 3. Hyundai would have had Neuville, Tanak, and Solberg. I don't think they'd had a 4. They don't tend to run 4 cars. That's another 3, so that's 6. M Sport would have had Craig Breen, Gus Greensmith. Who else is driving? Formo, obviously, we mentioned him. And I want to say Luby. And I've messed up at Toyota, they had Lappy as well. I saved myself there. But let's do the maths. That's 4 Toyotas, 3 Hyundais, and I think 4 M Sports. I'm going to say 11.
He's got it. He's only got it. I thought I was going to get you on that one because I didn't think you'd get the fourth M Sport because there was Lube. I didn't think you'd remember Lube. Yeah. Damn it.
It was his first event, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah. I thought
the problem is you've picked questions from my first ever WRC event on the ground, which you weren't to know.
That's true. That is true.
It means that I've got some proper, yeah, it stands out more than others would. So, yeah, but yeah, Lube had a terrible morning. Yeah, I think it was two punctures or three, I can't remember how many, but more punctures than he had spare tyres and retired in the first morning. But yeah, that's funny. M Sport's lineups changed quite a lot, hasn't it, when you think about it? I sort of forget that Gross Greensmith was in Rally 1, as much as I don't, but do you know what I mean? It was like, yeah, he is part of M Sport. He feels like the Skoda driver now, doesn't he? So yeah. Good question, that was fun. I almost tripped myself up forgetting about Esa-Pekka.
So, yeah, I thought I've got him because I was like, oh yeah, he's going to forget Lappi or he's going to forget Lube. No, of course, Barry's brain is supreme as ever. So here we go then. It's the power stage question. Question number 5. Can you name the top 5 finishers from the 2021 Croatia Rally?
Yeah, see, these are harder. The power stage always trips me up. Top 3 I can do. It's first Ogier, second Evans, and third Thierry Neuville. Now, who comes after that? I have to do some live thinking about this. 2021, I'm trying to think who was still driving. Ofobo was fifth, actually. I can lock in Adrian for fifth. So I'm missing fourth place. And there's an obvious answer I could reach for in that he's sort of the leading contender I haven't mentioned. But I'm trying to remember if he had any kind of issue. Because the big issues that or incidents that weekend was Robin Perra's massive crash, wasn't it, on the first stage. Who else? Craig had a difficult weekend. I think, I can't remember why, but you certainly remember he didn't do too well. I'll say Oit Tanak. I'm not confident in it, but I'll put Tanak. So it's Ogier, Evans, Neuville, Tanak, Formo.
He's done it. It's a clean sweep. Luke Barry is unstoppable when it comes to Croatia Rally Barry's Brain Quiz. I generally thought I was going to get you there, and now I'm going to have to do my homework again.
I was going to so much for the harder quiz. Apparently, that was easier for me, but that was good. I really enjoyed that because they were not easy questions at all. I had to do some proper soul searching to reach it. But I do.
This is what it means, people. Barry's Brain, he's doing soul searching to answer these questions.
it means too much to me. Generally, I get really like worried about it. No one's expecting anything from me apart from myself. So I'm like, because we made this whole segment about me, essentially, in the title. So I'm like, I feel like I need to live up to it. Otherwise, I'm just disappointing myself. So yeah, I put myself under a lot of pressure. So it's nice to know that it's all in there somewhere at the back of my brain.
I think that's your first ever clean sweep of Barry's Brain.
I think it might be, yeah. Yeah. So we'll take that. That's one for the CV, isn't it?
What a disaster from my end.
Creator Rally Expert. Yeah.
Well, I hope, you know, as I said, it's a bit of fun. We like to do it. I hope you had fun, you know, joining in at home, answering the questions. Obviously, I love a bit of trivia, and obviously Luke does too. So yeah, feel free to, even if you want to, email some questions in for the next Barry's Brain that I can consider, then maybe do so. Yeah, please contact us if you'd like. I guess that's all we've got time for today.
Is that a cry for help, Tom? Or is that a... but I like it. It's a good idea.
Well, you know, I like to get the listeners involved if they want to throw some questions to you. That's by all means, do so. it could be a cry for help, or I've just got to be a bit better at coming up with questions, haven't I? That's the next thing. Portugal next, so maybe I've got a chance there of outfoxing you for that one. So we'll see. Yes, well, that's all we've got time for, unfortunately, today. A big thanks to Luke for his insights. And please do remember to log on to autosportandmotorsport.com to keep up to date with all the action from Croatia. But be sure to join us for another edition of Gravel Notes as we review the action from round 4 next week. Luke, yeah, thanks. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for listening.